And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 761. Another week of Fab is in the book, so we are here to recap your week 5 Fab. Talk some news, because unless you've been living under a rock, a lot of prospect news of late, which is good. Contrary to all the injured news we've been getting for a few weeks, that's a little different flavor on this episode. So we'll talk about that and much, much more. You can find me on Twitter at BDintric and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at BreakingBen_T. Ben Tidd, how are we doing, my friend?
Doing great, Bubba. And you kind of allude to the prospect talk, a lot of catcher talk. We were just talking strictly all catchers before we recorded, so I know you're in a good mood after that.
It's been great. It's been real great. And like, I was so busy yesterday, I was kind of away from my phone for the most part after like noonish. So I didn't even know about the Augustine Ramirez stuff till I got home to start doing breakfast with Bubba. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. It's like an Easter miracle. But yeah, these are guys that I was pounding the drum for preseason. It was like catcher threes and DCs, and here they come. So hopefully people take advantage of that. We'll see how the production takes place, but we've got what we can ask for. It's April 21st. We already got two of the big prospects up, which is pretty sweet, all things considered. So let's see how that goes. All right, let's just get right to the news, because we do have a lot of player to talk about when it comes to Fab and whatnot. So we'll kick it off with an hour and a half or so before this show kicked off. The A's finally did it. I wrote about this in ALPT Tomorrow, like 3 weeks ago now, that I said, okay, Miguel Andujar, cool story, bro. Get Brent Rooker in the outfield, because then he could bring Kurtz up. Kurtz and Soderstrom could first base DH, whatever you want to do. I don't care. It'll work. And the A's finally did it. We saw like through the tea leaves, Rooker's been slowly playing outfield lately. And then here we are. Nick Kurtz gets the call on Monday to the bigs. And the A's have 6 games in Sacramento this week, which will definitely help things out there. Ben, when we look at Nick Kurtz, he's been a man on a mission, hitting .321 with 7 homers, 24 RBIs, and 18 runs scored in 20 games. Ben, video game numbers, basically. We obviously get a full week of play before we have to talk about him again next week for how much money he's going to go for. What's your thoughts, like, initially, though, with this Nick Kurtz situation?
He'll probably go close to 300, assuming everything goes all right. I mean, Chandler Simpson, who we're talking about, was going in that range. But steals are a different story. First base is kind of weak, though. And if Kurtz is anything, shows that he's anything, it's going to be a lot of money to get him. I kind of want to get MLB TV to watch all those games late at night, you know, just hanging out before I go to sleep, just turn on the A's and just watch some fireworks, because I'm already heavily invested in some of the guys they've already had on the roster. But now with Kurtz showing up, I kind of want to see what he looks like. But yeah, it's definitely more regarding Kurtz next week. I mean, if you're not in NFBC, definitely add him. But for us in NFBC, if Kurtz wasn't drafted, you can't do anything yet. You just got to wait and see and figure out how much money you want to throw out of your wallet to try to get him.
Yeah, if you really want him, you're going to have to pay for it. If you overpay, just that is what it is. Like, if you want him, you're going to have to go get him at this point in time. The talent is legit. Looking at Ryan's minor league leaderboard sheet from the Patreon, it's pretty remarkable stuff. Ryan even tweeted some of this stuff out. But Kurtz has a .655 slug, 35% fly ball rate, but a 20% barrel rate and a max EV of almost 108 right now. It's pretty impressive. He has not even attempted a steal, though, so don't plan on that in your repertoire. But the power is legit, and we'll see how it translates. It's funny you mentioned MLB TV. When Ryan and I were streaming on Playback last Wednesday, they had a minor league game on, and it was the A's minor league team, so Kurtz was on. So I had that on the TV while we were streaming the other game here, and just to check him out. Now here he comes, so that'll be great. And real quick plug for Playback TV. If you guys are new to that, want to come hang out and watch a game, we have the Bubba and the Bloom channel, and I'll be streaming a game Wednesday evening. There's 4 games, actually. I know it's late for the East Coasters, like you, Ben, but they started about 9:40 Eastern, 6:40 Pacific. There's 4 games that night. I'm going to focus on Freddy Peralta versus Logan Webb, but there's 3 other really good games as well. So if anybody's bored, wants to come hang, talk some baseball, fantasy baseball, I'll be there, and we'll see who else jumps in from time to time. But I want to throw that out there as well.
If you guys do one Friday, you should try to do the A's.
Yeah, no, if I have Friday, might actually be in play. So we'll see how that goes. Yeah. Oh, right now we got news. Spencer Strider placed on the 15-day IL with a hamstring injury, Ben.
Oh, well, it's not an arm, but.
Yeah, my question is it really the hamstring? Because we saw the velo down the last start. I'm still skeptical here, of course, but it literally just happened. So any initial reactions there, I guess?
No, I have to take him out of my Yahoo lineup for today. And not that it matters, it's daily, but yeah, that's I mean, you never know with guys coming back from injury. They can always hurt something else by compensating for their original injury. And I guess I don't know if that's the case with Strider right now, but definitely get him out of your lineups if you still have time to do that.
Yeah, at least the Braves gave us about an hour head start before a lot of the lineups lock for the NFBC to make that move. If you have Strider, I don't have any, so I have nothing to worry about in that regard. All right, let's talk about we're gonna dig into some of the prospects that won't be added till next week. We'll save the other ones for later. So Augustin Ramirez of the Miami Marlins. This is a player, a catcher. Let me clarify. He's not a player. He's a catcher that I thought should have been starting the season over Nick Fortes. And then when the first set of injuries happened, they called up Rob Brantley, which was just insane to me. But now Rob Brantley's out for a while, so Augustin gets the call, Ben. So far in 19 games at AAA, Ramirez is hitting .254, three homers, five steals, which is great. Last year between AAA teams with the Yankees and the Marlins, 25 homers, 22 stolen bases while hitting .267. And then just for one last context thing before I just throw it over to you, if for those that, again, I'm going to keep using, I use this a lot right now this time of the year, but Ryan's minor league board, we have a 13% barrel rate, 109.3 EV90, and he's actually attempting to steal bases 33% of the time that he can. So he's not just a fluky thing as a catcher, is why I wanted to bring that up. What's your thoughts on Ramirez? Because this could be, again, not everything translates, you know, apples to apples from AAA to the bigs, but potential power speed combo could be a game changer.
Yeah, he could be the new JTR and on the same team, ironically enough. So I think you said before we recorded that Ramirez is batting sixth tonight, so not the best, not the worst spot in the Marlins lineup. Probably just want to ease him into action. Don't put too much pressure on him right off the bat. Yeah, he 25 and 22 with the .267 average last year. It's pretty impressive. That was across a couple double A and two triple A stops with the trade involved. So yeah, he did at the highest levels, Ramirez. I didn't really save my money I have money still, but I was targeting something else that we're going to talk about, I'm sure, tonight. But yeah, just like with Kurtz, just pay attention to the Marlins, which is going to be hard to do probably, but you want to see how Ramirez plays this week. And I'm sure I don't think how he does would affect it to the price too much. I mean, unless he goes 1 for 22, then that might have with 10 strikeouts, that might have an impact on what his prices will be on Sunday. But I doubt he would do that. I mean, who knows? I don't know who the Marlins are playing off the top of my head. And I'm sure he'll get a lot of playing time. Young catchers usually can hold up pretty well. And we have a lot of young guys to take a look at this week before we have to dish out some fab money.
Most definitely. For the Marlins schedule this week, they have three at home versus the Reds, Lodolo, Nick Martinez, Brady Singer, and then three on the road in Seattle, Gilbert, Castillo, Miller. So not the best pitching matchups for a young guy to get his feet.
The weekend will be rough.
Yeah, at least he's getting it. Like, and you said, the biggest thing is I'm not as worried about the overall production per se. It's just there's six games. Does he play at least four of them? Hopefully five of them. Like, is he the main catcher? And if that's the case, then yeah, bidding should be awesome. Chase Mydroth of the Chicago White Sox, this broke late for some that had him plugged into their lineups, unfortunately, before the Patriot Day game, went on the IL. He was hitting .269 to start the year over nine games. Four runs scored, an RBI and a steal, was looking pretty decent at AAA. Obviously, I think you're holding on to him for now, but any thoughts on Chase Mydroth, maybe what we've seen the first week and whatnot?
Yeah, I didn't have Mydroth anywhere, so I'm not exactly sure how he was doing. I know it's poor analyst for the sake of the show, but I'm looking at the roster now, and there's no actionable move. It's Jacob Amaya back at shortstop, and second base is Lennon Sosa has been pretty good in DCs. But yeah, Amaya is a non-factor in fantasy. I mean, if you're tight with your injuries on your bench and an NFBC type format, I could see dropping Mydroth. I mean, he's really just an average upside play, and he's on a bad team. So if you're stressed for roster spots, I would understand dropping him this upcoming Sunday.
Yep, I'm with you there. Like, he's a deep league play, not a whole lot else at this point in time with him. Maybe it develops into more, but we were saying that last week as well when it comes to Chase Mydroth. Logan Henderson had a heck of a debut on Sunday against the Athletics. Six innings, one run, nine strikeouts, only one walk. That was great, kid, but sadly enough, back to AAA as they called up Yoho, one of the best relievers in baseball apparently in the minor leagues, and Henderson's time will have to wait, which made sense. Like, the writing was on the wall, Ben, with Tobias Myers coming back this week, Woodruff's back in like 2 weeks. It kind of all checked out. But any thoughts on what we saw? Because of, like, he's going to be in the player pool now, I believe. So you got that going for you. Is this like somebody you try to stash cheap and hope he comes back pretty soon? Or where are you at on what you saw?
Well, what I saw looked like it was, I didn't watch any of the game, but looking at nine Ks to one walk, it always gets me very intrigued when I see a starter doing that, no matter who they are. But Henderson was actually available in maybe one or two of my main events. And yeah, I was like under $10 just because I wasn't sure what the future was holding for him. And sure enough, he got sent back down, which unfortunate. It's weird to see that Chad Patrick, Quinn Priester, and Jose Quintana are holding a roster spot over someone like this, especially the Brewers are trying to compete. So I don't get why they would make that decision. But, I mean, they did go out and trade for Priester, but it's a sunk cost potentially at that point. I mean, you made the move. You can't undo it. I think you'd want to stick with the best talent, and it seems like Logan Henderson is one of their best options. So, but it's whatever. I'm looking at their injured list right now on roster resource, and they have like a staff and a half worth of injuries in the rotation. It's something. But yeah, if he's definitely someone to keep in mind, Henderson, later in the season, maybe in a couple weeks, if Woodruff looks bad and like velocity's down, same thing with Myers, if any of these guys are showing signs of injury or some poor performance, I think it would be a good idea to try to, like you said, add Henderson for cheap if you can afford to and see if he makes a rotation again.
Yeah, it's one of those questions, like, do you go and stash Henderson now for a buck? Do you wait for Zebby Matthews? Like, it's all obviously team dependent and what you can do and whatnot, but we know when Zebby gets the call, if he's available, he's going to cost a boatload of cash, and Henderson will again once he gets the call if he's still sitting out there. So it's kind of like you have the chance to do the fun thing. Not sure which one pays off first, I guess, but it's out there for sure. Chase Young of the Detroit Tigers was recalled on Monday. We saw Jace last year with a cup of coffee at the big league level, over 94 plate appearances, no homers, 14 runs, 3 ribbies, no steals, hit 241, kind of grinded through things. 3 homers and a steal, hitting 239 to start the season at AAA. But when you look at the deeper numbers here, we saw Chase Young has a 21.7% barrel rate, a 144 WRC plus. So the results might not be there, but the skills have definitely looked good so far here. Any thoughts on Chase Young, who will get a full week to see before we have to worry about adding him?
Yeah, he's someone who's going at an affordable price in DCs, and even then, I wasn't very interested in Chase Young. Just looking at his underlying stats from last year in the platoon and not the best situation with the Tigers, I still wasn't too interested. And if he's in 239 at AAA, what's he really going to do? I mean, it's only 19 games, but what's he really going to do with in the majors? And looking at the roster resource for the Tigers, they're assuming that McKintry will be sitting now, and then I don't know, but right now McKintry's kind of filling in for Carey Carpenter, and maybe this is a sign that Carpenter will go on the IL, because they've been playing McKintry almost full time, and I mean he hasn't done anything to lose that spot, McKintry, but maybe it's not a good sign for Carpenter now that they're calling up Chase Young, but yeah. I wouldn't be adding Young anyway, regardless.
Yeah, they're saying some news today, like just real recently. Carpenter is going to be taken really, really slowly with his hamstring situation. DH only if he plays at all right now. They want to play Javi Baez in center field, which will be amazing.
Yeah. No way.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a legit thing that they're talking about doing.
It says that right now.
Yeah. They're going to try to play him a lot in center field right now to see what he can do, which means Trey Sweeney doesn't have to platoon, which is a plus if you're a Trey Sweeney fan. But yeah, Baez in center is going to be quite the experience, which again could play to your Carpenter thoughts and some other potential situations, because that outfield's been just depleted since spring training. So
they need Parker Meadows back. I mean, I need Parker Meadows back in my life too, but they really need him back.
Yeah, he started a throwing program finally. He got cleared, which doesn't mean he's close, but at least he's doing something, is the way I look at that. So
second half monster.
Yep. That's just like last year, all over again. All right, a couple more notes here. AJ Puck to the IL over the weekend with a left elbow forearm area situation, having an MRI on Monday. We'll await the info there. I did not drop him this last week, so I wanted to see the, results of the MRI, Ben. Any thoughts on the Puck situation, not to mention Justin Martinez having arm fatigue already? This is not a great start for what we thought was a really good closing situation in Arizona.
Yeah, I was going to say, in theory, this is really good news for me, even though you don't want to see anybody hurt, because I'm a very big Justin Martinez stan. I was very upset. I was at Easter dinner last night, and I was looking at my phone, seeing that the Diamondbacks were up. And I look, I'm like, oh, great, this is Justin Martinez. And I go, why is Shelby Miller, or whoever they brought in, I go, where is Martinez? Because I knew he hadn't pitched in like 2 days. But I shared the clip of Torrey Lavolo. Yeah, Lavolo's the Diamondbacks manager. He was talking after the game about why J-Mart wasn't in, and he did not seem concerned at all. And I don't know if it was just arm fatigue or just like general fatigue. I hope it's just general, because if it was arm, it's a little more concerning. But if he's just tired overall, because there was a stretch of games where he went like three in a row, I remember, because I've been paying very close attention to that usage because of where I have Martinez. And yeah, I mean, elbow inflammation could be a precursor. Who knows if the imaging saw everything. But yeah, I mean, I don't have puck anywhere, which is probably obvious to people who have heard me talk about Martinez before. So I didn't have to decide anything one way or the other, but he could be a drop attention thing if any news comes out this week.
Yeah, if it's anything that results in I'm going to say a month or beyond, he's gone for me. But we'll kind of play that game as it stands and how each team has space for it, basically, with AJ Puck, because he was so darn good yet again before that took place. More news on Spencer Strider that just dropped. He hurt his hamstring right now, right before the game, playing catch in the outfield. So again, take this news as you wish, because I still feels like not a hamstring thing, but could be totally wrong on that one. All right, Ezekiel Tovar hit the IL with his hip injury. He's been dealing with it off and on, had a couple days off. I think the Rockies just wanted to give him the time off. I think it's a minimal stint. I'm not too concerned, but you have any thoughts on Tovar to the IL?
Right now, it looks like Aaron Shunk is the replacement. Definitely do not drop Tovar. I don't think it's going to be a serious thing. But, I mean, if anything, it kind of gives Amador a little more leeway, because he can play second or short potentially. I don't know. But, yeah, this is not a lot of fantasy relevance besides you're losing a starting shortstop. But other than that, there's nothing really you can do.
All right. The last bit of news, Ben, added to the list here. It's a good one. Tyler Stevenson begins a rehab assignment this week. Ben, how excited should we be?
Well, I'm very excited. So get ready to put him in your lineups. I don't know if it would be for the weekend, but hopefully next Monday or Tuesday, I feel like he could potentially be back, Stevenson.
Yep, no doubt about it. It seems like, yeah, earliest this weekend, if not early next week, it feels like we get Stevenson back in our lives, which a lot of us need, especially with so many catchers kind of underperforming. But we do have Caro, who we're going to talk about, Ramirez, then Stevenson coming back. Things are looking up. We had Dingler already come up. Things are moving in the right direction for us catcher fans out there. All right, let's get to it. Week 5, Fab, Ben, for those keeping track at home, we use the NFBC player movement page, talking OCs, 12-team leagues, because most people play 10s and 12s. So we'll give you an idea there, obviously, an idea there. Obviously, Ben gives his 15-team expertise, because most of these guys are already gone, unless they're the prospects of note. So we'll get after it. This was one of the more expensive weeks that we've seen in a while, Ben, to start the year. It's week 5, and this is one reason why Nick Kurtz on paper should go for like 500+, but might not be able to, because people are spending cash now. So the funds have been shifted, and it starts with Caleb Durbin. He's not the most expensive guy this week, but he's the most added guy in OCs. Caleb Durbin was added in 207 OCs, as high as 254. Dun, dun, dun. As low as a dollar. Thank you, OCs. You are absolutely amazing. I got a ton of Caleb Durbin shares, none for a dollar. I know Ryan put it in the Discord. He got a ton of Durbin shares. I don't think he got any for a dollar. I like to shake the hands. I could look at it, obviously, but I like to shake the hands of those that got him for a dollar and just kind of lightly tap the people that didn't bid in that league. But what's your thoughts on Durbin? Like, I know myself and many were very excited about him coming into the season. We were very angry when the Brewers didn't start him at third base out the gate, but here we are.
Just for the audience, there were two bids of a dollar that won, and one was a 750 OC. That's bad. Whoever's in that OC, I mean, both OCs, that's just terrible. Like, come on.
But a 750, oof.
Jeez, they got to wake up.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, well, so Durbin, he kind of profiles kind of like the Nico Horner, maybe Bryson Stott, Andrés Giménez type, with the minimal power, great speed, and at least a decent average in the minors. I think he's going to play third base probably, right, for the Brewers?
They said he'll be the lead third baseman for the foreseeable future, was the words they used.
Yep. So he'll presume. So he'll get second and third base eligibility, which would be great for his versatility. And yeah, I didn't get Durbin anywhere, unfortunately. But he may have already been added, or I think it was because I just, of course, I've been saying here the last couple of weeks, worry about talent when you're looking at Fab primarily at this point in the year. But I didn't need a lot of second base help in spots, and he's an unknown. Durbin, you're not going to know how he's going to perform once he gets called up. And looking at the bids, there's not a lot above 100 in the OCs. It's a lot in the all actually pretty evenly distributed. So it just depended on which league you're looking at. But yeah, he was highly sought after, Durbin, because of the steals. And I think the one downside though is that he'll probably hit ninth for the Brewers. So he has to do a lot in the few plate appearances that he'll be getting. But if he plays every day, he can make up for it a little bit. And I mean, the Brewers have a solid lineup. They've been a little underperforming, I think. But overall, I think it's a good add. And like I said, I didn't really get too – I did put bids in for Durbin. I just wasn't too aggressive just because of positional needs.
Yeah, no, I was a big fan because there's two reasons. I've been struggling at corner infield also. He's going to get third base here in a week or so. So it's one of those, like, I'd be cool that I'll add him and sit him if I have to type deal. I was looking long-term with him. I agree that talent should be very good, hits for a decent average. You know, 10 to 15 home run pop, tons of speed. So I'm a big fan of what we have here. And I will recap our FAS. I think I got them around like $45 in most of my leagues, which I was very content with. Then I see some of these other bids I've got very not content with now. But it is what it is. That's the usual situation in these formats. Just flipped over to the main event real quick. He was picked up in 37 leagues, so rostered in a lot of places already. As high as 269, as low as 47. So that's a plus, at least. At least there was some, you know, representation there. All right, the name that was on the tips of everyone's tongue this weekend, because Chandler Simpson was recalled or promoted to get his first stint in the bigs on Friday, started Saturday and Sunday, picked up a steal on Sunday. Chandler Simpson stole over 100 bases in the minor leagues last year, which is just mind-boggling. He had one home run, and inside the park, he has not left the building, as one could say, just yet. Simpson went in 198 leagues, Ben, which someone's apparently stashing him because I doubt he's available in any leagues. I can check that soon. But he was added for as high as 699, Ben, almost 70% of an original budget, as low as $36. That is some pretty, pretty crazy stuff there. And it's not just like one big bid. There was two in the 500s. There was three in the 400s. So it was some heavy shopping in the OC streets, Ben. What were your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, he cleared out a lot of bankrolls, that's for sure.
Which I am very happy about.
I'm looking at the list, and I don't understand how Heberlig is affording – I forget who he bought last time. He went crazy on whoever
the – Dolander, I think. Is Dolander or Veen, one of the two?
Oh, yeah, I think it was – yeah, so he's going for steals. I mean, he's on here a couple times, not as many times as last time, but I recognize his team names.
I'll tell you. Yeah. Right now. It was Veen. I just pulled it. Zach Veen. He was going over 300, like 280 to 330 on Veen last week.
Maybe these are the teams where he didn't get Veen on.
Yeah, there you go.
So it's Simpson. I think my largest bid was about 80 in the main event for him. And there was a couple, actually, there was one or two spots where he was already taken because of when those drafted. He was already in the player pool, so people were stashing him. But where I did, I think it was actually the main event that's been doing really well. It was that one where I spent around bid around 80 for him. I just couldn't go anymore because, like I talked about this before, but like with the overall component of the main event, I can't be having a guy who's like guaranteed for no power in my lineup. And it's not like I'm desperate for steals there. You shouldn't be desperate for steals anywhere right now unless you drafted for that, like you heavily punted steals and you were hoping to add Chandler when he got called up. I guess that's a strategy, but not one that I would do, but I could see it happening somewhere. And I mean, he'll be good in runs in theory, steals and average. But the other thing that kind of held me back was, besides the profile, was just the playing time. Because right now the Rays, they already have Mangum, Meisner, and Morel. And I mean, it would make sense to play Simpson over Mangum and Meisner because of the age, and Simpson's like 24. Those guys are in the mid to late 20s. But then they also have Lowe, DeLuca, who will be back eventually. I don't know how long DeLuca will be out, but it's a little bit longer for Lowe. It's just that they have a lot of options for playing time over Simpson. And like he hit, well, he'll hit first versus righties, it looks like, maybe nine versus lefties. That's how they've done it so far, the Rays, with Simpson. So it's just the profile is hard to stomach if you need a little more balance in all your roster positions. And then how long will he be up for, I guess, is the other big thing that I was worried about. So definitely someone to go after, but I just can't, even $300, there's no way I was coming close to being competitive. I would have to be like Waxman, who got for 36. He was the min bid in the OCs, freaking yeah, Waxman. But those times when you play 800 leagues, you're going to get some gems every once in a while.
You will get a gift sent your direction once in a while. That is for darn sure. I got one share because I was not bidding high at all because I was okay being wrong. I get it. 100 steals is cool. I was concerned with playing time because, like, you could even Cameron Meisner has been playing great. He's in a platoon. This is what the Rays do. Not saying they'll platoon Simpson per se. He started versus lefty already, so that's a positive sign. But, like, Johnny DeLuca was supposed to be out 2 to 4 weeks. It feels like it's been almost 2 weeks now. So, like, he's got to be getting close. Josh Lowe, who knows what's going on there, because that's Josh Lowe. But to your point, there's a lot of mouths to feed in that outfield. And to your other point, which I was probably more concerned about, is when I look at just a fantasy team, like, I just don't – I hate rabbits. I hate rabbits. Like, call me the Elmer Fudd of fantasy. I don't care. But, no rabbits on my team is the way I'd go about that. So I'm with you. I got him in one league, 250 standalone for $9. Pretty pumped on that one. But
that's impressive.
That's literally just the most keep him honest bid I could put out there. And it's just like, oh, okay, sounds good. I'll take it. But yeah, it was not a top priority for me. And we'll see. Could be totally wrong when all things are said and done. All right. We got some pitching to talk about here now because pitching was interesting this week. Not a lot of options, but some very do you believe in the bounce back options were on the table. One was Andrew Abbott, Ben. Abbott was picked up in 168 leagues, as high as 179, as low as a dollar. Andrew Abbott so far this season has looked really, really good through two starts. He's thrown 11 innings, allowed 2 earned runs, 1 earned in both starts, 16 Ks to 3 walks, which is a massive improvement for Abbott. 215 Sierra, so it's not even like he was completely, he's getting lucky here. He had a 12.6% swinging strike rate over those first two starts. Now it's two starts. So, like, do we take this and run with it and see where it goes or not? But I did have some interest in Andrew Abbott this week, because mainly to my first point, not a lot going on in the starting pitching options. But secondly, it's like, okay, this guy did have quote-unquote pedigree. We saw signs of it last year, but he was more pitch to contact last year. Seems like maybe he's figured a little more out. Young pitcher still. Where were you at on Andrew Abbott?
Yeah, he had been gone in the main events because of the nature of the leagues. I mean, there's 15 teams, so anyone who's a starter is probably going to be rostered. I think I had a bid in from last week, Abbott. I wasn't very competitive with that bid. Look, the swing strike rate you mentioned is very impressive because it's basically up 2 percentage points from his best, which was 2023. That was 10.9. He's like at 1.7% higher. So that's a pretty good jump. I don't have pitch mix info right now, but just looking at the opposing hitters' plate discipline against them, I mean, the O swing hasn't really changed. The Z contact hasn't changed. Contact in general has changed. So I guess when people are chasing, they've been missing more. I don't know if that's sustainable or not. But the other thing, though, that stood out when I'm looking at his Fangraphs page for Abbott is a BABIP of 105 and a left on base of 100%. So there's going to be some bounce back. I mean, the FIP, XERA, and the XHIP are all very good. And then when you have so the ground ball is 28.6 for Abbott. That means the fly ball is 57.1%. So when you're pitching in Cincinnati, that is not a good recipe for success.
No.
So there could be an ugly start here pretty soon for Abbott. But I mean, I feel like he's more of a play in a 15. I guess there's upside for the 12, but there's definitely a lot of warts right now too that I'd be cautious of.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was. I'm like, I like him, so I put some cash out there. We'll play the game. He's in Coors this week, which I believe it's Coors this week. Might have concerned some, but I know people probably get sick of me saying these things. But, like, shameless plug, I was using the weekly planner from Ryan. He's got a starting pitching board there. And, like, you look at Andrew Abbott, and it's really really intriguing to see where he, like, for his upcoming matchups here. Like, Colorado's got a 67 WRC plus versus lefties to start the year. Like, that's promising. He's got St. Louis, which is tough. But then after that, Atlanta, who's struggling a lot. So it's not like these are just like complete, you know, tough matchups, I guess. Like, these are serviceable streaming options. So that's where I kind of took my chances with Abbott, and then I'll see where it goes. All right, Matthew Liberatore, another young guy that has been really bad through his first couple stints in the bigs. Much, much better this year. Picked up in 118 leagues, as high as $91, as low as $1. Liberatore has shown quite a bit, Ben, in his first four starts now. He's gone at least six innings in all four. Three earned runs or less in three or four, so that's three quality starts. Six or more Ks in the last three starts. And more impressively to me, Ben, those 24 Ks and 25 innings pitched with two, count them, two walks for Liberatore, so 22.4% K to walk. That's some pretty good improvements in my book. So where were you at on Matthew Liberatore this week?
He's kind of in the same boat as Andrew Abbott. Liberatore is basically gone in my main events just because of the nature of those leagues. He's someone I actually drafted. I'm checking my lineups right now. I could have gotten him again. I took Liberatore in my first 150 DC, which was probably end of January, early February. I didn't get him again. I think I saw that there was a chance that he could make the rotation at that point, and I'm kind of annoyed I didn't draft him again after that. So I actually prefer what I'm seeing with him than I am with Abbott. So the Ks are lower with Liberatore. The swing strike's a little bit lower, but the walk rate has been terrific. Only a 2% walk rate. The ground ball rates the batted ball profile is better. The fly ball rate for Liberatore is 35%, which is much better than – it's like 20 percentage points lower than Abbott's. The underlying metrics, the XERA, the FIP, XFIP are as good, if not better, than what Andrew Abbott has. Liberatore's actually been a little unlucky with the left on base. It's 63% versus 100% for Liberatore. For Abbott. So I like, and also the better ballpark. And I would probably prefer Liberatore. I don't know if this was a play for the matchups. He is facing Milwaukee, so people are probably just seeing the good numbers and seeing if it sticks. So I kind of wish I had more of Liberatore. Unfortunately, I don't, but sometimes you just miss out. And I think there's definitely good upside because he was a pretty decent prospect, if I recall correctly.
Yes, he was. So, yeah, it might be worth seeing a young player start to slowly figure things out. Connor Norby returned from the IL this past week and was picked up in 115 leagues this week in the NFBC OC, as high as 127, as low as $1. Norby's a corner infielder that I've always enjoyed. Hits for a pretty good average, a little bit of pop, a little bit of speed. Picked up, he's hit safely in three or four games, picked up his first steal on Sunday. I don't think he's anything flashy, Ben, but I think a very steady Eddie third base or corner, depending on what your team needs. Where were you at on Connor Norby?
I can't say that. I have him on my home 12-team league. I did stash him on the IL there. So I do have one share of Norby. Looking at the Marlins lineup lately, he's back to hitting third now, versus lefties at least, Norby. His last start versus righty, he was sixth, so which isn't ideal. I think that was part of the appeal of Norby. I mean, I think that's why you and Ryan liked him so much when you're doing your pockets of ADP and all those other shows that you guys do. It was that you're getting someone around pick 300 who's playing at the top of the lineup. And I understand the value. I do look for players like that as well at that point in the draft. And he has some power, some speed, Norby. Only four Ks and 16 at-bats, so that's only 25%. So that's a pretty good start because he had a little bit of a K issue last year, I believe. It's only 16 at-bats, so way too small of a sample to know for sure. But, yeah, I would have been in on adding Norby for sure. I think he's dual eligible as well, so that always helps. Maybe I'm thinking of the Yahoo eligibility because that's what I think he's second and third there. So he could be second and third in your other formats besides NFBC. But, I'm a fan of this ad.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it's Mydroth, it's like similarness, but much more power is the way I would say it than Mydroth. A lot of similarities in that regard. Carson Kelly, people finally opened their eyes to this one. I remember last week, Ben, when I was really mad that I missed that he got out of the game on Sunday, and I ended up picking him up, and then has a monster week, so we're good. Life is good yet again. Carson Kelly was at 112 leagues. Now, this part I wouldn't have agreed with, but as high as $100, as low as $1, Carson Kelly's been nuts, and he's still platooning with Amaya, but he's kind of on the stronger side of an almost evenly split platoon. But Kelly's hitting 371, six homers, 18 RBIs, walking 24.5% of the time with an 8.2% K rate. I do not believe those numbers continue, folks. Like, be very clear of this, but ride it while you can is the way I would say it. So, yeah, I'm all about this move. I think this is a phenomenal pickup if available.
Did you end up playing Kelly last week in that league?
Oh, yeah. I didn't have a backup catcher. He was in the lineup, so it worked out very well. I'm not carrying three catchers unless – the only leagues I have three catchers in is if Stevenson's on my bench or a couple Ivan Herreras that I'm still almost dropped this week but still holding on to.
Yeah, I'm doing the three catchers with the Stevenson teams. So I'm looking at his weekly breakdown for Kelly. Six at-bats week one, 12 week two, 6 week three, 11 last week. And he's running pretty pure to have six homers with that few of it at-bats. We'll talk about our fab and one of the leagues where I did upgrade a catcher. I did have Carson Kelly as my backup bid. So I was in on him for sure. But I think part of the issue with those at-bats too, at least recently, is that, like you said, he missed a couple games with injury. But since Kelly came back on Wednesday, he played three or four. And I'm only looking back at six games right now, but I'm sure probably be a little more 50-50 before that. So it's just, I wouldn't have gone too crazy. Like, I was in the 30s, I think, with my bids. I wouldn't have gone any higher than that because, he's been fantasy relevant in the past, Kelly, I think, when he's on the Diamondbacks for a period of time. But, yeah, like you said, Adam and see if he stays hot. I mean, he's definitely going to cool down some. It's just a matter of what the baseline production will be.
Yeah, I'm with you. He's going to hit a skids at some point, but the fact that he's still splitting time but being as productive as he is, especially in 12s, like 15s, it works for you for now. But 12s, like, you can kind of play that game and rotate it around. So ride it while you can. Pick up one of these young guys we're going to talk about and move on from there probably. But all right, Luke Weaver. I was wondering how this would go. Picked up in 105 leagues, as high as 201, as low as a dollar. I remember when the Yankees traded for Devin Williams, I was angry because I had a lot of Luke Weaver shares early on in DCs. And then I love Devin Williams to begin with, so I got a lot of Devin Williams shares. That is not going as swimmingly, of course. Luke Weaver's already got two saves over 11 innings and 9 appearances. Not allowed to run just yet. He looks phenomenal. Fernando Cruz also has two saves for the Yankees, for those keeping track at home, to go with, I think, three or four for Devin Williams. What are your thoughts on this Luke Weaver love? Like, I agree he's a very serviceable reliever, but, like, to me, Devin's not losing that job anytime soon. Like, they might play games, but I find it hard to see them just saying, nope, we traded for you, you're making money, we're not doing this.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Because, I mean, look at how they handled Clay Holmes last few years. They stuck with him for so long when they probably should have not. And that was years after they had acquired him for the Pirates. At least, like, with Williams, they literally just got him. So there's no way they're going to take him out of the role. The only thing I can imagine is that I'm looking at the bids or the winning bids, and this Backus person, they bid 201 on two teams. So I'm assuming that they have Devin Williams on those rosters. That's the only way I would do this. I would be bidding. I mean, well, that's way too much to bid anyway, but I'm sure that most of these high bids at one were Devin Williams teams, which I get that because I kind of did the same thing last year with the Cubs when I think it was Edward Owsley got hurt. I kind of just attacked the two options for who was going to fill in for them. I think John Posma was in on the running too. I'm looking at – I see a couple of JP OCs. I'm assuming that's John Posma because he loves OCs. He was in like the 50s for – Luke Weaver. But yeah, I think actually just before we recorded, I was watching MLB Network and they hit the side-by-side of Weaver and Williams stats. And I mean, they're just comparing how starkly the two have performed thus far. But yeah, there's no shot anytime soon, unless Williams is hurt, that he's going to lose the job. It's just, I think in some spots, a very expensive insurance policy.
Yeah, I know. I had Weaver on Waterfalls. Not sure. I don't think I got any shares of Luke Weaver, but I was interested just for the fact that he looks like he's going to pick up a save every other week right now. He's going to get you great ratios and strikeouts. So if it's one of those weeks where you're thinking about a sketchy stream or a Weaver's probably the choice type thing. Like I live in that world, and I know a lot of big time players think that's a bad idea because I enjoy that, just to sleep at night. But I don't think I paid enough for Weaver. I probably should have, knowing that I have a lot of Devin Williams shares. But like, it was weird because Williams struggled his first few outings. Then he had two saves in a row where he started to look pretty good again. And then he blew up again over the weekend in Tampa Bay. So it's just like, figure it out, buddy. But we'll see where it goes. Quinn Priester. Quinn Priester picked up in 104 leagues, as high as $76, as low as a dollar. Quinn Priester's made two starts with the Brewers. You mentioned him earlier when we were talking about Logan Henderson. Five innings in both starts, only one earned run, and that was in Colorado. Four Ks in both starts, five total walks. So there's some things to like here. There's some like definite like red flags to pay attention to with Quinn Priester. That's the nicest way I'm going to say this right now. But again, at the same token, I'm not going to compare him to Abbott or Liberatore. Priester was a top, like a top end prospect for the Pirates at one time. So I'm not saying he's going to be great, but I could see like the idea of maybe people think he's going to figure it out. I don't know. Where were you at on Quinn Priester after that long-winded way of saying he's not that good, probably?
I have not put a bid in for him yet. I'm sure he was already taken probably last week in main events. So I pulled up, you mentioned that I mentioned Priester earlier. I'm not, as you were saying that, I was hoping that I was justified in saying how not good he is. His K-minus walk is only 7.5%. So that's not good. That's a 4.5 walks per nine and a K per nine less than seven or less than eight, 7.2. His xERA is 5.39. His FIPS 4.23, xFIP 4.08. His left on base is also 100%, kind of like how Andrew Abbott's was. And the BABIP against for Priester is 2.31. So people are probably seeing the 0.90 ERA, and then he has a two start week. I checked that. He's facing your Giants tonight, and then he's facing the Cardinals. So I think people just saw the 0.9 and then the 0.9 ERA and then the two starts, and that's why they added him. He was just in the news. We mentioned that they traded, the Brewers traded with the Red Sox to get Priester. But yeah, this could be a Easton Lucas type two start week potentially.
Yeah, and Easton Lucas got sent back to AAA on Monday. So got that going for you. Yeah, what a world would that be if they bring Henderson back up, send Priester down even when Myers comes back? That'd be the smart move, actually.
What should have happened.
Yeah, that's the smart move. But we'll have to see how that plans out. Like, Priester had that Giants matchup, Giants 106 WRC plus versus righties, St. Louis 103. Then even next week, he gets the Cubs, who have a 115. So none of these are really great matchups for a guy that pitches to a lot of contact. So keep that in mind. All right, Gabriel Arias. I am a fan of Gabriel Arias. I'm a fan of him more so in deeper leagues, but I can see the appeal in 12s because he's second base, third base eligible. And I already kind of made my point with Caleb Durbin where I need corner infield help because, Matt Shaw back in AAA, a lot of people believed in him. And there's a list of all these first bases, dreadful. So corner infield, I could see the Gabriel Arias appeal there. It's picked up in 100 leagues. 113 is a bit high for me, but I get it. Like, if you're desperate, you need something, whatever. A dollar as a min, that works too. Arias is playing primarily second and shortstop. So he's probably, I think he's going to get shortstop eligibility by the end of this week, I would imagine as well. So that's another plus. Hitting .277, four homers, 10 runs, 10 RBIs, and a steal. Four homers matches last season's high. Just going to throw that out there. But a 143 WRC plus. Guy's playing great. He's playing every day. So like I could see, rolling with it. He seems like he should almost be gone in 15s for you, Ben. Like, he's like the perfect guy there. But 12s, I get it right now.
I did have a bid, I think, this past weekend for Arias. I didn't get him because of some other guys I had ahead of him, I believe. But yeah, he's been pretty – when I first saw people adding him, I was like, really, Gabriel Arias? Because, I mean, he's been nothing the last couple of years. His OPS has been around 600 in 2024, 2023. But so it's going to come down from 841 right now. But, I mean, I will say he has a 70th percentile barrel rate at 13%. Which is very good. I've heard Rob D talk about this, but the bat speed's improved. I think he's a 93rd percentile right now, Arias, with the bat speed. I don't have up what it was last year, but it's definitely up. Middle of the pack sprint speed. I actually have Arias in my 12 team Yahoo League because he's second, third, and eligible there. And I needed a bench bat that was kind of hot. And even in that, where we roster like 300 people, it's kind of like a little OC. It's, there's not a lot to choose from, so I figured take the chance with Arias and add him. The XBA isn't terrible, 246. The XWOB is above average, so is the XSlug. A couple other metrics are kind of around league average. Overall, his average X velocity is only 23rd percentile for Arias, 87.4 miles per hour. But, I mean, if you hit it well enough, I mean, it's fine. You're not hoping him to, like, win your league for you or anything like that. And he plays every day. mostly for the Guardians. He's been hitting 6th, 4th, 7th. So yeah, I like him. I think he's more of a 15 team play, like you were saying. I think people just see that he's playing well in 12s, and that's why they're adding to see if it's 6. But he's only 25, so I guess he could still be growing as a player. Yeah, well, I guess we'll see what happens.
And the one thing I'll say in 12s, like in 15s, he's pretty much, as long as he's playing every day, he's going to probably be in your lineup most weeks. In 12s, the good thing about him is you can ride this while he's playing well, and if for some reason he's an easy drop if he struggles. Like he's an easy drop in a 12. You don't have to think about it, which easy drops, there's a lot to be said about that if you play enough 12s. Like that's a helpful thing to have. So you ride the areas bad. It's like he's the definition of churn and burn, basically. Like, okay, play him while he's hot, drop him the second things start going the wrong direction. Another Milwaukee Brewers pitcher, because he has a two-step, the same one as Quinn Priester, that's Jose Quintana this week. He has picked up in 100 leagues, as high as $50, as low as $1. Quintana's made 2 starts. He's thrown 12 and two-thirds, allowed 1 run over those 2 starts, 2 wins, by the way, but 3 walks, 6 Ks. So you're just praying that he can, he's a 15 team at best for me. Like in 12s, there's nothing I want to do with Jose Quintana.
I mean, a lot of the same analysis I said for Priester applies, because he is also getting that 2 start. He's at San Fran, at St. Louis this week, Quintana. this is actually really funny. He has a 0.71 ERA to Quinn Priester's 0.9, and Quintana's left on base is also 100%, and his BABIP against is 194. And then, even better, his K-minus walk is 6.5%. So it's going to be ugly soon for Quintana. His FIP and XFIP are a little bit better. They're both 3.82. I think that's because he has a high ground ball rate right now, but it's definitely his career high. It's only been 2 starts. So I think this could also be another Easton Lucas-esque 2-start week for Quintana.
Yeah, it's scary. With Quintana, sometimes I'm like, okay, at least he's the veteran where you're like in 15s, he rarely crushes you, but he really never gives you like the goods. Like, oh, I'm so glad I started him type thing.
He has been good the last few years.
Yeah, like we're in 12s, that doesn't do it for you. Like, that's just not it. That's not happening. But at least in 15s, like, he can be suitable, and you can kind of wade through that, if that makes sense. It's not pretty by any means, if you haven't figured that out yet with my trying to sugarcoat that situation.
His swing strike rate is 3.9%. through 2 starts.
Ben, I think you can get more than a 3.9% swinging strike rate if you were on the mound right now. Let's just put it that way.
I probably could, honestly.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm pretty sure. Like, I'm older, Jesus. And I'm like a salad tossing lefty, so I couldn't. But I have a feeling you're young enough that you could probably still put a little zip on it and some movement and navigate that one for sure.
I had a pretty poor arm, I will admit. I was more of like the throw strikes kind of pitcher.
That's how I was. I was a lefty that just because I throw curveballs and changeups to kind of mix things up type deal. All right, Luke Kuechel. Here's one of the prospects that got called up this past week after we kind of talked about too early on. Kuechel was picked up in 98 leagues, as high as 138, as low as $1. Some might have been kind of hesitant because in NFBC is util only. There was a fun discourse in the Discord earlier about each format we talked about. He was eligible at a different position. There was like no uniformity to it. It's pretty funny, actually. Playing second base in AAA. So eventually he'll get that second base up here. He's DH, second DH. Might take a little while is the problem in Minnesota. But hit safely in all 3 games, 2 doubles out of his 4 hits. Got a steal already, Ben. 15% K rate. I know it's a small sample, but still I like to see that from a young ball player. Like, he's making contact. I don't think I got any shares, honestly, but I see the appeal. It just, to me, it felt like a Brooks Lee, like slightly elevated Brooks Lee profile. And maybe I'm wrong there, but where were you at on Kuechel?
I didn't put a bid in, honestly, because of the U2 only. I'd even look to add him because I have a main event with Ohtani. I have a main event with Brent Rooker. And then the other main event, I had other needs. So it's, so I don't have a lot to say. I mean, last year he went 15-23 with a 300 average. So that's really good. And only 102 games.
Yeah, he had Tommy John surgery to kind of.
Yeah, so it cut the season short. He went DH, second DH, his 3 games. He's really been in there because of Willie's been out. So I don't know if they think that Willie will be hurt, like on the IL, but if Castro's healthy, I guess he could play the outfield and Deshaun Kiersey could stop playing and then Kuechel would be the DH all the time, presumably for now. Brooks Lee's been playing 3 out of 4 the last 4 games. I actually had bids in for him in the spot or two. And also, too, like, look, listen to what I said. The Twins, they play guys all over the place all the time. Yes. So that's also why I wasn't too. I mean, I never even heard of Kiesel anyway. I was, at least with the, when I go for a prospect, I want to like know who they are. And for him, it was just let someone else have fun with dropping him in a week or two when he stops playing or this doesn't perform.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you. Like, I think he's an interesting stream, but util only was a massive deterrent for, like, I have a lot of Manzardos and those kind of guys. So I know Manzardo's not hitting for average, but I'll still take that power upside over Kiesel right now and go that direction. So just didn't fit my builds. Let's put it that way. Couple more here, and this is where I really like doing these exercises with you, Ben, because like, we talked Abbott, we talked Libertor, who went for a lot of money in like almost every league, and now you have JT Jen, who maybe has picked up a little last week, that's fine, but still 95 leagues, as high as 86, as low as a dollar. Jen's somebody we've talked about a lot. I talk about a lot on a lot of shows because we saw improvements in spring training, we saw improvements in the minor leagues, the velocity's been up, lots of things to enjoy in that regard. You know, he only went 4 2/3, allowed 3 runs in Milwaukee, but 5 1/3, 1 run against the Mets. So he's pitched pretty well. More importantly to me, Ben, 13 Ks in 10 innings pitched. So we got a high strikeout arm that is partly due to the velocity changes and whatnot. I understand last year was bad for Jen, so maybe some people turned off. Maybe the ballpark, he's going home this week to face Texas, whatever angle people want to give. But to me, I don't know he's that far off of Abbott and Libertor is my point to this conversation. And to see him go for the price difference is why I like these exercises, at least for people that might still be playing out there in Yahoo or something. These guys are available. Like, this is where this conversation is interesting. So where were you at on JT Jen?
He was added last week in my 15s. So, and I did not put any bids in for Jen. I'm looking at his numbers right now. So yeah, he has a 30% K rate, but he has only has a 10.6% swing strike rate. So, or 10.2, excuse me. So either that swing strike has to come up or that K rate's going to come down. The one good, and also you mentioned the ballpark in Sacramento. That's another reason why I wasn't too into, like, I didn't go crazy. It was only one start too. I didn't look into it too closely when I was doing Fab for last Sunday. But he does have a 65% ground ball rate, which is going to be very helpful. And he has a history of that in the minors, Jen. Last year with the A's, it was only 47.1%. That's still very good. It's definitely leaning ground ball heavy. So yeah, I mean, there's definitely some upside with him. The only thing that's the walk's been a little bit high so far in the two starts. But it's really hard to tell for sure that it's going to be an issue after two starts. But yeah, to your point, I think it's definitely a little more appealing to pay this a lot. Well, Libertor was 91, Jin was 86. It's just that I think Libertor was added in more leagues. That's really why. Yeah, so the prices weren't a whole lot different, but Abbott seems like they were for sure. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I get your point. And if you need upside arms, even in an OC, I get taking the flyer on Jen.
I think I had him ranked out. I think I had him Libertor, maybe Abbott, Jen, mainly because he had that Colorado start coming up. Mm-hmm. But long term, I'd probably have a Libertor, Jen, Abbott in reality is like where I'd be going there. We'll see how that pans out. But like you look at Jen, and obviously he's playing in Sacramento and that ballpark's pretty rough, but he gets Texas back-to-back starts. They both have an 81 WRC plus versus righties. We know their offense has been horrible. And then his third start coming up at the Marlins. Like if he can't get it done here, it's an easy, like, see ya. But this is a great setup to see what this kid's really got. And that is intriguing for sure. We talked about Yastrzemski before. Love him against all the righties. Bednar's back just real quickly, because I want to get to one more big name before we talk about stuff. But Bednar's back. He made some adjustments at AAA. Were you interested in a Bednar this week if he was available? Because he wasn't available in that many of my leagues. That's why I was surprised to see picked up in 92 leagues.
Yeah, I don't think he was available in the main events.
Yeah, he should have been held there for sure.
Yeah, but if he was, I would have. I have one that has Seth Halverson as its RP2. I would have definitely been interested in adding him there, because I think that he'll probably get his, what's it? It's like his third shot now. It would be this next time. I feel like Bender's a cat. He's got 9 lives. Yeah. So, well, the 201, I feel like that stands out a lot. Yeah. There were a handful above 100. So, yeah, I get adding him, because I don't like it. We did this Dennis Santana analysis when he was an add-in. He doesn't have a history of being that good of a reliever, Santana. So I think that Bednar could definitely get his job, or a chance of getting his job back relatively soon.
All right. The main man I want to discuss before we talk about our ad drops this week. We talked about him off the air, talked about him briefly at the beginning. It's our final prospect we're going to discuss for now. That is a catcher. It's fittingly we wrap it up here. And Edgar Caro of the Chicago White Sox, picked up in 89 leagues, as high as $96, as low as a dollar. Talked about him with Ryan on Thursday night. Like, if you look at his profile, it's kind of a Gabriel Moreno meets Kyber Ruiz, like good average, a little bit of pop. Like, this is a pretty good setup, plate discipline skills, walks a good amount, doesn't strike out a ton, I guess. Hit cleanup on Monday, which is just chef's kiss on that one. So I was a fan. I know you were a fan, so I wanted to talk about this because I know we'll talk about it on your ad drops as well because you were active in this one. Where were you at when you're looking to bid on Edward Caro this week?
Yeah, well, I had we'll go over my bid amounts, but I had a variety of prices on Caro, and I got them at all three prices. I was very shocked to see that. I kind of told you, I think it must be because people saw that Augustin Ramirez was getting called up, and they figured they would just wait for him. But I didn't really want to wait around because nothing's guaranteed. So I took my shot on Caro. I looked at his minor league profile. So in 2024, he had 16 homers in 98 games with a .280 average. That's better Kiebert Ruiz. And then, well, this is going back a few years, but it's A ball, but 2022, 111 games in A, 17 homers, a .312 average. He actually had 12 steals that year, but he stopped running since then. So I don't know why that's the case. But yeah, you mentioned Caro batting fourth today for the White Sox. He was like one of the centerpieces in the, no, he wasn't traded for Crochet. They already had Caro, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and he's a switch hitter, so he's not going to get platooned.
Teal was traded for Crochet.
Yeah. I couldn't remember if it was both of them or not. But yeah, Caro is, I think he's going to play all the time. I mean, there's, and the guys who are hurt, who's the guy? I can't think of his name. Corey Lee. I don't know. If anything, he'll be the backup when he's back. And so I think Caro, as long as he performs, he'll keep the job. And yeah, I like the comp. I think he has more power than Moreno. So I think he could be like that low to mid teens homer profile if he plays all year, and hopefully hits 270 plus, or I mean, even 260 plus. I keep going lower. 250 plus for your catcher too, if he plays all the time, is definitely helpful. So there's a lot of room for profit with Caro.
That's what we're kind of joking about off the air. It's like, if he just hits fourth every game, he could just be mediocre. And even on a bad White Sox team, he's going to be a just fine catcher too. Like, just fine. And I think we all think he's better than that. Now, there might be growing pains as a young player. That's just life. But I think he's going to be pretty darn good. Augustin Ramirez has the much higher ceiling. Much higher ceiling. But you don't know. Like we said earlier, the biggest thing to watch this week is how often does he play. Like right now, they're showing the Marlins game on MLB Network. He's got his gear on. He's high-fiving in the dugout, about to take the field. So we'll see what Ramirez can do in his debut. But it's good to see these young catchers getting the call right now. It's really, really nice to see.
And even with Caro, I like too. So going into Fab last night, he only had 1K in four games.
That's so. Real nice. Yep, great plate skills. The only catcher we're missing now to really – well, there's more. Teal's good and – there's some others, but the one we're missing the most right now is Adrian Del Castillo in Arizona. When that happens, my like just full DC lineups will be glorious. I'll have like three catchers in every league to play with. That'll be nice, but that might take a little bit longer with Gabby Moreno in the way.
I think there were others too that I remember looking at in DCs. Like,
oh, there's a lot of young catchers
who are getting drafted in DCs this year.
A lot of young catchers, so it's good to be a catcher these days, folks. Welcome aboard. Come enjoy the fun. The water's warm. All right. Let's talk about our ad drops for the week, Ben. Before we head out of here on another fun episode of Fag, it was a good week. It was an interesting week, not a depressing let's fill the gap week. So it's more like, hey, there's actually some young players that might be worth something weeks. So what'd you do this week?
All right. Look at that. New Jersey, Maine, Edgar Caro dropped Danny. Oh yeah. So I had an obvious job. I was talking to the guilds, Danny Jansen, this is gone. I can't stand him not hitting anything anymore. So it was Edgar Caro dropped Jansen 84 to 45. This was my highest bid. And I haven't looked at Waxman's Fab report yet to see how I stood, but I feel like 84 probably will be one of the higher bids for him. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of bad catchers, so I'm surprised people weren't more aggressive. This one was a pretty good bid. So this team needs offense. So this is why I made a little more moves. I got LA Dodgers, Max Muncy dropped Kyle Farmer 34-33. So hopefully Muncy can start hitting the ball a little bit. Then I added Adele Amador, dropped Alex Call, who was a bust of an ad because he stopped playing, 18-2. And then this might be a name for next week's OC Fab, but I added Keydair Montero, dropped Trevor Williams 12-1. So I made four moves there. Main event two, I added Alex Verdugo, dropped Sean Burke 48-18. Maybe Verdugo's a name next week in OCs, but he has a low ceiling, but his floor is great for 15s, especially if he's batting leadoff for the Braves for now. Then I also added Edgar Caro here. I dropped Elias Diaz, 28-14. This team has Stevenson on it, so that's why I only bid 28. But, I mean, I'm surprised that, again, the interest was so low in Caro. Then I added Brooks Lee, dropped Trey Sweeney, 16-3. And again, Keydair Montero dropped Dean Kramer this time, 6-0. And then main event three, this one was a little bit closer. I added Caro, dropped Danny Jansen on this main event, 58-55. Then I got Verdugo again, dropped Ben Lively, 34-21. And that was the two moves for that one. So that's the one that's currently fourth overall. I dropped out, but I'm fine with that. I don't want to be first right now the whole time.
I'd rather be fourth for a while and just kind of hang because, I won't talk about my teams, but yes, I'm with you there.
Yeah, so Verdugo, I think, is very valuable. I want average too and just plate appearances at this point with this team. So, and even the other one too. But I think even when Acuna's back, whenever that is, Verdugo should play most of the time for the Braves now that Profar is suspended. And then in the listener league for you and Ryan, I just had one move. I'm pretty low on Fab after last week here. I got Amador, dropped Morton, 16 unopposed.
You're a Morton dropper with me this week. Yeah, but
Morton's so bad.
Yes. I pulled up Zach's report for Edgar Caro. Your bid of $84 was third highest.
Okay.
There was a 176, an 89, and then yours. So you're not, and then you had your 58 was ninth. 58 was ninth highest, and then your 28th was 23rd highest. So yeah, all over the board. Somebody got him. Someone got him for $3, a couple $5. So yeah, it's just there's a recipe to Fab, but there's not always a rhyme or reason. Let's put it that way.
Right.
All right, my Fab results for the week, and one of my OCs, I picked up Matt Mervis because I needed first base desperately. This is where OCs really make me angry. I dropped Matt Shaw. I put a bid in because I needed, again, first baseman desperately because there's no options. Put a bid in for 44 to get him. No runner-up bid. That was cool. Real cool. Picked up Caleb Durbin. Dropped Kyle Stowers 44-33. Added Osvaldo Beto. Dropped Cade Povich 12-0. Then I added Jose Caballero. Dropped Ke'Bryan Hayes. Like I did a couple weeks ago, Brian. It was good. Then it got bad like usual. $8 to runner-up of $5. So there was some interest in Caballero, and I just wanted to – this is where when I play DFS, it actually helps me because I usually just write. I have been writing Caballero off, but the dude's playing pretty much every day, either in the outfield or shortstop right now, hitting 300 on the year with a homer and 5 stolen bases, still striking out like 36% of the time. That is horrific. So it's one of those where this could easily get derailed at some point. But to like we talked about Gabriel Arias and other guys, in a 12, I'm going to ride Caballero as long as I can. Then we're going to move on. Not to mention his positional flexibility comes in handy in a big, big way. Mm-hmm. My beat Bubba OC. I picked up Caleb Durbin, dropped Jock Peterson. That's happening. 44-35 runner up. So that was nice. Got Caballero here, dropped Matt Wallner 8-6. So again, there was an interest in Caballero, which was made me feel better because I was kind of nervous about that.
Bubba. Yeah. So you dropped Wallner. I think I held him in both spots. It is a 12, so it's different. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's why.
It was a 12. I had outfield depth where I needed other positional support. Caballero gives me all the infield plus outfield essentially. So it was a team need / I needed an upgrade because Wallner, it's supposed to be a limited stint on the IL, but I'll play that game if I have to later on. And then I picked up a Wallner clone essentially in Gavin Sheets. Drop Ty France 7-0. No runner up
nice,
there. Be
nicer to Wallner. Come on.
Well, Sheets faces all righties this week, or almost all righties this week, which is great. So you might, as Ryan said, you have to clean your sheets. And Gavin is actually hitting 333 with 2 homers, 11 ribbies, and a stolen base. Like, this is ridiculous. Obviously, we've never seen this sustained from Gavin Williams. But again, ride it while you got it. And then this is the one. We'll see where it goes. But I just decided to pull the pin early. I added Griffin Canning. We were talking in the Discord a lot, like, hey, how'd he look? What's the improvements? There are improvements with Griffin Canning. And I dropped Zach Veen. 6-2. Veen has been horrific. I think Veen did it his first home run on Sunday, still went 1-for-6 in a doubleheader. Zach Veen's hitting 118 with the one homer, one steal, 38% strikeout rate. If you go deeper into his metrics, like his Statcast, he has a 5% barrel and a 30% hard hit rate. If you go even deeper on some of the good stuff here, the batted ball profile, it's a 44.5% ground ball rate, which is not going to play very well. So it's just one of those things, like a plate discipline, almost 37% O-swing. His overall contact is 58% right now. He just looks pretty lost at the plate. Like, I dug into it on Saturday before I decided to do this. But I was like, okay, it's a 12. This might haunt me eventually, but he is dead weight on my roster right now. Like, absolutely dead weight. And if he figures it out, so be it. Someone else will get a deal down the road, but I need to take advantage of that. So, yeah, I pulled the Zach Veen pin really quickly on that one. We'll see how that pans out. All right, 250 standalone. Carson Kelly dropped Miguel Amaya. Like, you know, swapped teammates, 9-0. These 250 standalones are almost worse than the OCs when it comes to bidding, by the way. There's like 20 bids. And there's only 5 that had runner-ups. This is the one where I got Chandler Simpson, 9-0. No runner-up bid for Chandler. Not even a runner-up bid for Chandler Simpson. And I dropped Will Warren, which I think the kid's good, but he's not really doing it at 12. Let's put it that way. But yeah, Simpson 9-0 with no runner-up is just comical. When Tyler Molly went for 94, David Bednar 42, Randy Vasquez, a catcher for Boston, went for 41. We got to reassess a few things, I think.
He's playing all the time, though. I did have him in a bid
list. He's playing a lot. Yes. No. I would have him on my list, but not for $41. Not like Edward Caro and other guys who are available is the problem.
41 for him versus 9 for Simpson. That's like a crime.
And I got 41 for him. I got Carson Kelly for 9. Like, it's the little things in life. Then in the 250, the 250 Vegas Bubba and the Bloom League. I got Libertor here. Dropped Sean Burke 32-25. So that felt good. Oh. But then I got Osvaldo Beto, dropped Sagano 22-0. And then I picked up Carson Kelly, dropped Jonah Heim 12-8. So got some love there as well. That felt good. Our buddy Waddell got Chandler Simpson. This one, 89, to runner-up of 88.
That was good.
Dropped Carlos Correa in that. So that's one to keep an eye on. And then the two more here. We've got some 15s. Listener League, got Gavin Lux, dropped Martin Perez 13-11. Added Logan Allen, dropped Charlie Morton 12-0. Added Amez Rosario, dropped Joey Ortiz 7-0. And then in the OLAC, I added Logan Allen, dropped Landon Knack 14-11. Logan Allen's not sexy by any means, but he's been quite serviceable in his two-step last week. He gets a Boston team that's league average versus lefties. And then more importantly, what I like to see is his start next week. He gets the Minnesota Twins, who have a 36 WRC plus versus left-handed pitching right now. So I will definitely throw Logan Allen out for that one in a 15. That's pretty valuable in my mind. So we'll go there. All right. Yeah. It was a busy week in Fab. I had a lot going on in my teams for once, which is maybe not good. I don't know. We'll see. But I'm still trying to be patient, Ben. I don't know how you're approaching things, but I'm also like starting to realize there's some guys that are probably hurting me more than they're helping me. And it's time to start making moves. So that's where I've been the last week and a half or two. How are you starting to approach Fab as we're basically we're almost a month into the season. Since we've had 5 Fab runs now.
Right. Yeah. And I was definitely a little more aggressive with those 2 main events that have been struggling. So I definitely made a few extra moves there. And yeah, to your point, Danny Jansen had to go. That's I'm looking for upgrades to catcher, and he's probably going to get hurt this week anyway. So just him as an example. And I don't know if it's it's how I feel about my players, but they're still like, if I've drafted players relatively early in drafts, I'm still kind of holding on to them right now. It's not a time to panic really necessarily, unless there's an injury or just something has happened. Like maybe Jake McCarthy, I still struggle to drop Jake McCarthy because of what he can do. And then, I don't know, it's just tough. Like he's an example of someone I've been struggling with, and I had him as a drop going into the weekend, and then I took him out just to wait another week to see what happens. So this will play him, though. I mean, that's why you have a bench. So yep. It's if you're unsure about someone, just drop them potentially. Drop them to your bench. Don't cut them yet. But yeah.
No, it's like what Spore and I were talking about on Friday. Someone asked a question about how to approach Fab coming up, and we basically have, if they were taken in like your top seven or eight rounds, you're still just, you're holding pat. You could bench them, whatever, but you're not cutting these guys. You put faith and you did the research. You drafted them for a reason. Like, unless there's a glaring injury or something, you can move on. But for the most part, it's still early. Kind of see how it all plays out and go from there. All right, my friend, we're going to wrap it up there. We'll be back to recap some Fab next week, of course. But for now, we're going to call it a day. Make sure y'all follow Ben on Twitter at @BreakingBen_T. I'm at BD Entrick. This was Bench with Bubba, episode 761, your week 5 Fab review. Catch y'all next time.